speaker is a full-time minister in Johnstown, leads the men's groups and many other things at his church, grew up in Southwest Colorado, and became a chiropractor, went to Dallas to learn how to do that. Brought his son Lexon with him today. They have five children that are homeschooled. Let's bring on Shan Hager.
All right, good morning. Can everybody hear me in the back?
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, let's open in prayer first, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for sending your son so that we could have this right relationship with you. Lord, we want to thank you for that. We want to praise your name on high. And Lord, we just want to make sure that each one of us is glorifying you. And by doing that, please lead, guide, and direct us in such a way that we could not only hear from you this morning, but each and every day thereafter. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we open your word this morning, that we would faithfully proclaim your word and the testimony, your testimony in our lives. And so, Lord, as we do that, we just pray that the Spirit would be at work in each one of our lives in such that we are then able to see how you're working in our lives individually. What are you calling us to today? What is that call of action? What is that movement that the Spirit is guiding us to? So please, Lord, don't let us miss where you're working in our lives in all of the different areas. We want to give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, on the way over here this morning, I had yet to receive the message because, as you know, as a pastor, I'm just a messenger. I'm not the message maker. And so I just wait for the message. And we were driving here this morning, and Steve asked me, and I said, well, I haven't really got the message yet. But on our conversation, we were talking about the testimonies. And really, the amazing part about our testimony, each one of us has a testimony of our lives, right? If we look at a timeline of events, and you go back in time, and you say, well, here's when I was born, here's when I wasn't walking with Jesus, and then I came to know Jesus, and then here's when I'm walking with Jesus. But the question is am I just a believer in my salvation, knowing that Jesus is my Savior, but do I know him as Lord? Is he the director of my life? So there's a difference between just believing and following. And some of us have that testimony also of being a believer and not a follower, and then becoming a follower. And then some of us have that testimony of how we've been able to interact with other people. So the question really is it our testimony or is it the testimony of Jesus Christ through our lives? You know, I'll remind us if I just flip over for a moment to Revelation chapter 12, it actually talks about those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. So really, is that your testimony, or is it the testimony about Jesus in your life? And so anyway, this morning, that's what Steve and I were talking about on the way over here, and just thinking about, wow, I guess I'll be sharing with you my testimony this morning in view and in light of Revelation chapter 2, because I came to know Christ in my early 20s. I had just graduated with my doctorate. And I say just graduated. I was about 3 months from graduating. I got a doctorate degree in 3 years. I did two specialties, and I graduated with my doctorate, and I had a specialty in neurology, functional medicine, pediatrics. Actually, there was three specialties at that point. And so I graduated. I started my practice from scratch in Longmont, and most doctors don't do that. Most of us go into practice with somebody else for a little while and kind of build and so forth, but no, I was kind of young and dumb at that time and just said, hey, here's where I'm going. But Lord, you know, the Lord had blessed me with many years. I was almost 20 years into practice when God called me into full-time ministry. So, and then I just said, yes, Lord. And so I'll kind of give you that as a 30,000-foot view, but let's narrow it down for a moment. Back when I was in my early 20s, I didn't know that much about Jesus. I wasn't raised in a family. My mom and dad didn't talk about Jesus. I think I had been to church once, no, twice. One of my friends and his parents went to church, and they took me with them. Sat back, I believe it was a church over here in Denver somewhere. We were living up here in Federal Heights. And I don't remember exactly. I just remember sitting in the back playing with my friend. That's all I remember. I don't remember anything else. I don't remember what, I don't even know what the pastor looked like because I don't think I ever looked up. So that was once. And then my mom took us to church one Easter. We moved into Sand Springs, Oklahoma. My mom moved us around a lot. I was in 9 high schools my freshman year. She was basically climbing the corporate ladder and doing the whole thing. My mom and dad were separated when I was 5. And so anyway, so I'm out in Sand Springs, Oklahoma, and our neighbors say, hey, you need to go to church with us on Easter. Well, kind of being in the Bible Belt there, everybody went to church on Easter. So we were like, I guess we go to church on Easter. And we didn't really know what Easter was. And so at that point in time, I think I'm 14, maybe 13 and a half. Again, I don't remember the message. I don't even remember the church at this point. I don't even remember where we went, what we did. So 2 times in my life I'd been to church. Never even heard anything, didn't know anything about Jesus, had no idea who Jesus was. So fast forward, I'm in my early 20s. I'm getting ready to graduate with my doctorate degree. I got my intern hours and things done early. I was about 6 months early. So I started driving back and forth from Dallas to here. My family's originally from southwestern Colorado, where my dad lives. And so I was looking up in this area, in the northern Colorado area, and I did a demographic search and said, okay, Longmont's where I'm going to go. So I'm driving back and forth to set up this practice and those types of things, and I was on my way to the college. I lived in Fort Worth, but I was driving to Dallas. And on my way home from the college one afternoon, I just started feeling burdensome about all of my choices. Now, recognize that at that point in time, I'm taking this specialty. So I'm not only doing 38 to 40 hours in class every week, I'm doing my lab classes, right? We've got internship and so forth. I've kind of graduated early with my internship because I got my hours done early. But I'm still in school. I'm taking, at this point, I was doing 3 weekends a month doing these specialties. So when I graduated, I had the specialties. And I was teaching neurology courses to my peers. And so I would have 50, 60 students on a Saturday for 3 hours teaching them neurology. It's a pretty good gig. I charged them $20 a pop. It was nice, you know, and the school was amazing with that. So it was amazing. But what I didn't realize is I was going to be convicted of all of my heart direction was facing in the wrong direction. My heart was completely wrong. So God started to convict me on my way home. I get home that afternoon, kind of sitting around going, wow, I was studying some books, and I was really starting to get convicted to where I started seeing my life almost like a PowerPoint presentation where I saw multiple parts of my life passing before me. And in each part, God convicted me that my heart was wrong. My heart was wrong for being a doctor, wanting to be a doctor, because I saw it from a financial gain standpoint. I wanted something that my family didn't give me, so I wanted to give my family. It was a selfish motive. And just every part of my life, I was engaged to a gal at that time. We were engaged. We were together for 6 years. We were engaged for 4 of those years. We were getting ready to get married in about 6 months when I graduated and moved back up here. She was going to CSU Vet School in Fort Collins. And we were, again, everything was wrong. My relationship with her was in depth, ingrained. We were intimate, all that stuff that I shouldn't have been. And all of the things of life, from friendship to relationships, everything, flashed before me as far as a conviction. And I'll say conviction. It wasn't condemnation. God wasn't saying, Shan, you're wrong on all these things and this is a problem. No, it was conviction with love. He was saying, you're on the wrong path, but I love you, and I want you to go on the right path. So at that point, I said, wow, whoever this God is who's speaking to me, he knows me. Now, you guys know the scriptures pretty well, and you start to think about the woman at the well. Remember when Jesus talked to her and said, you're right, you don't have a husband. The one you're with isn't your husband. You got 5 others, right? That was the way I felt. God literally showing my whole life right before me, just in a flash, one flash after another. So I said, okay, Lord, whoever this God is speaking to me, I'm following you. And at that point, I was hearing from the Spirit very clearly. He convicted me. I surrendered my life. I didn't know what that all meant. I didn't know what it meant to invite Jesus into your life. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew there was a God who was speaking to me, and I was bound and determined to seek out who this was. So I went to 16 different churches. I can't say they were all churches. I went to a Buddhist temple. I invited the Mormons in, the Jehovah's Witnesses. We went through their teachings for however long. I think it was about 6 months. So anyway, I went to all these different churches. And I will share with you, it's very interesting, and it's not against any church. I'm not talking about any of that. And then again, I'm down in the Bible Belt, Dallas. There's churches on every corner, so it wasn't very far to hit 16 of them within 16 weeks. That was pretty easy. But here's what really convicted me to who he is. I go to these different churches, and I think three churches gave me different Bibles, and so I had a few Bibles at my house. So I'm driving from Dallas to Fort Worth, and I'm listening to this guy on the radio. His name's Chip Ingram. I'm sure you heard of him. And he's telling this story about why he believes in God of the Bible. I'm telling you, the Spirit dwelled up in me, and he says, that's who I am. So I said, okay, if you're the God of the Bible, I went home, and I had never picked up and opened those Bibles that was given to me. I picked up the Bible, and I started reading. Happened to be King James. I'm not very good at Old English, so I start reading that. I go, wow, Lord, I have no idea what you're talking about here. If this is you, you got to tell me a little bit more of this because I don't know anything about it. So I happen to live within walking distance of First Baptist Church of Euless. So I walk into that church, very large church. They have about 3,000 on a Sunday. And it was very easy for me to sit back in the back and just kind of glance over. Well, then they had a young adults group. There was about 80 in the young adults group, which are graduates and careers. So everybody who was just out of graduating college and into their careers, it was that age group that, well, that was me. So I said, hey, I'm going to go to that group. And I was talking, and God really laid on my heart that somehow I need to get baptized. Now, I didn't even know what baptized was. I heard baptism that morning, and so I go to this young graduates and careers class Sunday night, and I tell somebody, I say, I think I need to get baptized. And they said, whoa, wow, you invited Jesus Christ into your life? And I said, well, I don't know. God's speaking to me. Yeah, right? And so anyway, long story short, I get baptized there. And out of my whole family, my grandmother, who has turned away from God because my grandfather died in 1998, and I lived with her for a couple years to ease that transition, she turned away from God because God took her husband. And so she turned away from him. And my uncle, who lived in Dallas, who was homosexual, both of those were the only two in my family to show up to my baptism. And my grandma thought I was getting baptized into a church, not baptized to profess my faith. So very interesting. So I now get to tell them the story, and I get to share with them. And we have lunch and many, many meals for the next couple of days while my grandma's in town because she flew out from Cortez, Colorado, flew out to Dallas to see it. It's a beautiful time. But here's what happened, guys, and this is where it brings it into Revelation. So the first part of my walk with Jesus for about a year, year and a half is absolutely amazing. I am hearing from the Spirit. I'm hearing from God. I know it's God. I know it's the God of the Bible. I know that because he's speaking directly to me. It's very clear. There is not a question or a doubt in my mind. But as I go to these different churches, and I started attending one church for about a year solid, I went to First Baptist Church for a while, moved up here to Longmont, started going to... I'm not going to talk about the churches up here because you guys know these churches. So I went to a church up here, and what I kept hearing, and I'm not saying anything bad about the churches, but what I gathered was, Shan, you need to read the word, you need to know the word, and you need to apply it to your life. Read the word, know the word, apply it to your life. That's what was ingrained in me for about a year and a half, going to a couple different churches, one down there and a couple up here. So, okay, being a doctor, I'm pretty good at reading. I'm not a good reader, but I have to read a lot. Research, understanding what's going on in the profession. Again, reading research, you have to understand it, and then you have to learn how to apply it to patients. So if that's my Christian walk, okay, I got this. So I read the scripture, I start diving in, I start studying, I'm reading commentaries, reading other people's information. I start going, okay, this is what it's like. About a year and a half into my walk, so I'm up here now, I'm going to a church in Longmont. I'm leading a Bible study. God's given me the gift of teaching and preaching, so okay, I didn't know that. I had no idea what that meant back then. But anyway, I started teaching. And so I started Bible study. My Bible studies usually grew to 15, 20, and when we got up to 25 and we couldn't fit them in the living room, I had to branch off. So we would recruit somebody else to go take some of them at their house. And so we would just, this is what we did. And I did this for probably 12 and a half years. And my walk with Jesus no longer was that I was hearing directly from him. I was only reading. I was only reading, knowing what I read, and applying to my life. Now, if you heard any of that, nowhere in there did I say Jesus was involved. I was reading on my own knowledge, understanding by my own knowledge, and applying where I thought it needed to be applied. You with me? I know some of you probably have done that in your own life. So I'm reading scripture. This was about 7.5, 8 years ago now. I'm reading scripture, and I come across this verse, and this is a letter, so let me give you the preface. You guys all know about Revelation. I'm sure you studied it a time or two, maybe a dozen, right? So we've got Revelation 2, and in Revelation, remember that this is John. Jesus is revealing to John, and I'll just back up to chapter 1, verse 19. Jesus is telling John, I want you to write down what you have seen. Look, you see me, I'm showing you this, right? We've come up these stairs, I've opened up the heavens to you, I'm showing you. So I want you to write what you've seen me, and he described who he was. I want you to describe what is now, and he's going to give us the seven letters to the seven churches, right? What's now, what's going on to these churches. And then I want you to see and write down what's going to take place later. And so we see that in the first part, chapter 1, he writes down what he has seen. We see chapter 2, 3, going into 4, 3 with the seven letters that he's writing what is now. And then we see from chapter 4 showing the throne room of God, and on all the way to chapter 22 is what we're going to see later. And throughout the Revelations 4 through 22, he does jump back in time sometimes, right? And he goes back to Genesis and so forth. But the point is, this is Jesus talking to John, right? And one of the letters that he asks to write to the church of Ephesus, and this is the letter that he's writing. And so in all of these letters, it starts off with Jesus's, what did Jesus show John about who he was? So every basically start is, this is a part of me. The next letter, this is a part of me. The next letter, this is a part of me, right? Because John described Jesus as his, what he's seeing. And each part of that, he starts one of these letters with a part of him, which is pretty awesome. So he says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 1, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in the right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. We won't dive into those this morning, but let's go to verse 2. So he's basically saying, this is who I am. I am Jesus who is writing this letter. That's the short version. Verse 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. Now, I'm reading this because when we read scripture, especially in this time, we understand that he wrote these seven letters to those seven churches, and they will be delivered to those seven churches. Now, we also understand, and I believe this to be fully true, especially in these churches, that it wasn't just to that church. There was a time that it was written for that church and very specific, but we can also understand there's a timeless principle to our churches today. Correct? And to us. So I'm searching for that in this moment when I'm reading this. I'm reading this saying, Lord, reveal to me who you are. Reveal to me who I am in Christ. And help me to unpack your purposes. That's what I read scripture for, right? So I'm reading this going, okay, Lord, I see who you are. You just opened the letter. That's amazing. And he's saying he knows me. So who am I in Christ? He says this, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. Okay, I like that. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. But he says, I know that you can't tolerate wicked people and that you have tested those who've claimed to be apostles but are not. And at this point in time, you have to understand, I started my practice up here in Longmont from scratch, and I had one of the other doctors who were with me that said, hey, I kind of want to ride your coattails. I'll be a good doctor with you. He was a very smart kid. He was actually the salutatorian for our class, but book smart fella, but could not apply anything to save his life. Right? So anyway, he was a Mormon. Now, he and I had countless, we probably had 1,000 hours of conversation over the course of a few years while he was with me. And one of the things that I would not sway or shift from was the God of the Bible. And when they started telling me that Joseph Smith somehow made his rendition of the Bible so that it matched the other scriptures that they have, and it's called the inspired word of God, I said, wait a second, God's word. To my understanding, God lives inside of me is the God of the Bible, period, end of story. He's the one who breathed this thing, so I'm going to read this thing and understand this thing. So he and I had lots of conversations. So this was very, very true. I know that you can't tolerate these people who claim to be false apostles, right? Or prophets. And so that's true. I knew that. He was sharing with me in this moment, okay, yes, Shan, keep focused on me. But he says this, you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. And he unveiled to me also some of the times where I had truly stood fast to his name. But remember, for 12 and a half, 13 years roughly, I have been walking in my own strength and my own knowledge. So I'm reading this with just the assumption of what I'm supposed to see. And here's where it gets really hard. He says, yet, verse 4, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And at that moment, I will tell you that the Spirit lit up my heart and my life and my brain like crazy. And I remembered, I went back in time in my mind, and I remembered walking with the Spirit for about a year and a half. And I said, Lord, and I literally dropped to my knees and I said, Lord, I don't know how I've missed you. And he brought right to my mind John 15:5. And he says, if a man remain in me and I remain in him, he will produce much fruit. But apart from me, he can do nothing. And I was convicted because I was able to do nothing. And I said, Lord, but I've taught these Bible studies and I've tried to help people come to know you. And he says, that wasn't me. That was you, Shan. That was a tough truth for me. And in that moment, I said, you know what, Lord? I know your voice. And I'm going to make a commitment today to do my best that every time I hear your voice, I will say yes. That's a commitment. Lord, you know I'm not going to be perfect. You know I'm not even going to meet up half of what you expect of me. But if you're the one driving through me, we will produce much fruit. So that verse no longer became a man remain in me and I remain in him. That verse became, Lord, if I remain in you, Lord, and you remain in my heart, we together will produce fruit. And there will be no apart from you, Lord. You with me? So that became real in my life at that point. And we were going to church in Longmont again. I think we were on our third church. We went to a church about every 7 years. For some reason, God had changed it, and that's a whole nother story. But anyway, my wife and I shared with her that day, and I said, Lord, I said, sweetheart, this is what the Lord has impressed upon me. I am making a commitment that every time I hear from him, I'm going to say yes. Now, sweetheart, there's a lot of things that might change. Now, when you don't know the rest of the story, right? Paul Harvey, here's the rest of the story. The rest of the story, I'll give you a snippet. When my wife married me, I looked at her and I said, look, if you're in it for a wild ride, be ready. Right? Seat belts, crash helmets, the whole nine yards. And she will tell you the exact same thing. It has been nothing but that our whole life. So when I told her this, like 7.5, 8 years ago, she says, I don't know what we're in for. Now, at that point in my life, I want to paint a picture for a minute. I never really did traditional chiropractic. I had a specialty in neurology, functional medicine, and so forth. I was more working with autoimmune patients and cancer patients. I'd been doing that for 13 years at that point, 13 and a half, 14 years. And we were doing awesome. We had three prototype clinics in Colorado, one up in Fort Collins, one down here in Thornton, and my clinic in Longmont. We were getting ready to launch this nationwide. I had been teaching for 7 years nationally all over the United States, Mexico, and Canada, these concepts of functional medicine, because medicine doesn't have a whole lot for autoimmune diseases. Natural medicine doesn't have a whole lot for autoimmune diseases. So at the end of the day, God had showed us and raised us up. And I say this clearly because there were certain things that I could not have learned on my own. So I am giving all credit to God. But I just have to share with you, I would say I was at the pinnacle of getting ready to launch what was, it's basically, you guys probably know it as a franchise, but it's a licensing agreement. So other doctors, I had 153 doctors on lists to be able to sign up for this licensing agreement. And basically what they would do is take the operations of our clinic and put it into theirs, never change their name, but be able to operate where they're actually helping autoimmune patients. I mean, we had patients that had MS, no longer have MS. We had patients with rheumatoid arthritis, no longer have rheumatoid arthritis. Lupus, same thing. I mean, autoimmune thyroid, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, you talk about those things. These things were a time of the past for these patients. And God really showed me, and this was the thing that he showed me, Shan, and this was the vision he gave me back when I graduated. My job was to seek God and to change the face of healthcare. And I was going to do it one patient at a time. That was our motto. That's what God had driven me to. Okay, Lord, let's go. And he had shown me and raised me up in amazing ways, given me amazing opportunities. So here I am, getting ready to launch this nationwide. We had goals within 5 years to be in 500 clinics. 100 of those would be international. I had 14 countries that I had patients flying in from. My favorite one was Peru. I had this kid who came in from Peru. He had vitiligo, right? It's the different colorations of skin. And so he comes in. It's an autoimmune disease. He comes in. He's about 40, 50 pounds overweight, young kid. Down in Peru, soccer is a big deal. You know, football is a big deal here. Soccer is a big deal down there. And he wasn't able to play soccer physically. He wasn't able. He didn't have the endurance. And he got made fun of in school, and he's you could just see his whole affect was down. Anyway, short story is, he came up here, spent about 3 weeks. We diagnosed him, sent him home with a regimen of things to do. A year later, he comes back, and I'm telling you, this kid was a changed kid. Very thin, petite, and he couldn't stop talking. I couldn't even understand a word he said. And he's just going, and he's talking about how he's now the head the soccer team, and he's actually doing well because he feels so good, and he's actually able to now share the good news of the love of Jesus to his friends. One of the things that God did have me doing was evangelizing. You were talking about evangelizing this morning, right? One of the things he did have me doing is just sharing about who do people put their faith in when it comes to health problems. That's a whole nother aspect. So we would talk about that here and there, and so that's just one story. But anyway, long story short, let's narrow it down. It comes down to this. I would say I'm at a pinnacle of my career, getting ready to launch. We would have clinics all over. It was pretty amazing. And what comes before me is God shares with me, I'm at a lull. There's about a year lull that we're waiting on certain things from my attorneys about paperwork and the trademarks and the licensing. There's all these things. We're waiting. We got all this paperwork that needs to be done. So our clinics are operating. They're in proof positive. Everything's going well. And God brings to my attention, here's seminary. And I was looking up a master's degree. Now, I was part of it was a business group in Longmont. I'm going up into Loveland, actually. They were in Loveland and Longmont, but I went to the Longmont or the Loveland branch. And there was a business group. A lot of business guys got around, and we talked about management. And one of the guys that sat next to me was a controller of Hawk. I don't know if you guys know the big company Hawk. They have about 20,000 employees across the United States. And he's a controller, basically the main head honcho. And he's got 2 or 3 master's degrees. And we're talking about this. And he says, Shan, why don't you go and get your master's degree? You've very, very well proven when you discuss your business model and things, you've already got master's degree, even though you don't need it behind your name. And I said, well, but when I'm going to launch this licensing agreement, they not only need to know I'm a doctor and can do the physical side of things, but they need to know I'm a business person. And I understand business. And he says, don't worry about that. So anyway, again, I've got to shorten this. A year, I decide master's degree. Because what does seminary mean anything to me at that point? Right? I'm in the Word. I'm going to church. I don't understand. I say, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me. So a year goes by. I'm taking these online courses through my alma mater, through the university down in Dallas. And out of the 4 classes I've taken, 3 of them, those 3 professors, never even owned a clinic in their life. And we're going, this is a master's in health administration, from small clinics to large hospitals. I've had a clinic at that point. I think I'm now 14 years in or so. And so three of those classes, I literally am teaching about 80% of it because I'm sitting at my desk in my office and pulling things up, showing people this is what it looks like, this is what's going on, and we're just teaching. A year in, I've been so convicted all year, right? Because remember, I had committed to say yes to God, but I very clearly told him no. And so for a year, I'm not doing well in my heart. So this was in November. I decided to write my professors, and I wrote my alma mater, and I said, I'm going to go ahead and drop out of the master's degree program. And I wrote all my professors a letter, and I just said, sorry, I'm being very convicted. God is showing me that I said no to him, and I'm actually going to say yes. Because I made a commitment a year ago to say yes to him. He brought this to my attention, and I said no. So I gave them my testimony, or the testimony of Christ in my life. I said, okay, I'm going to say yes. Unbeknownst to me, a month and a half later, I get a letter from the university with a very healthy financial offer to teach these classes. I don't even have a master's degree. I just have my doctorate. Now, everybody around me was like, oh, this is awesome, Chan. This is great. This is going to be great on your CV, you know, your resume. This is awesome. This is going to be great for all these doctors. And I said, no, you don't understand. It's a temptation. See, a lot of people think all these good things out there, let's just grab them because it's in front of me and it looks good. It's a temptation. I was very convicted on that. And I had to apologize. And so I sent a letter, a refusal letter, but I doctored it up in such a way that I was trying to keep the doors open because I didn't know what God had for me. Lord, is this my plan B? Right? No, God doesn't have a plan B. So I said, yes, Lord. And at that point, I started telling everybody, God wants me to go into full-time ministry. I have no idea what this looks like. And I thought full-time ministry, because at this point, I've got, it was the global, we'll call it franchise for lack of a better term, but the licensing agreement, it was a business model called Answers. And then my clinic called Answers to Health. So I had that going, plus my clinic that I was a doctor in every week. Plus I was traveling on behalf of the Answers side. And then I also had learned some real estate. So we had some real estate things going. And so I've got three different businesses going. So I'm working 90, 110 hours a week. So I'm thinking, God's asking me to go to full-time ministry. That's like 40 hours. Well, I could do that and still practice part-time. 40 hours here, 40 hours there. That's pretty good. At least that's what I thought. And then God convicted me and said, no, Chan, I want all of you. I said, okay, Lord. And I thought he meant sell my practice. So I hired a guy there in Loveland and evaluated my clinic, and I didn't think he knew that much about medical clinics and especially the specialty. So I went internationally and I found another business. I paid him $7,000 to evaluate my practice and to sell it. Well, I'll just put it this way. I did get some offers, and one of the offers we were getting ready to close on, and it was a week before the closing of selling this clinic. I'm reading scripture, and God's Spirit really clearly revealed to me, Shan, I don't want you relying on your investments. I don't want you relying on this money. Because if we would have sold my clinic, me and my five kids and my wife, we would be set for the rest of our lives. I'll just put it that way. We would never have to. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is like Paul, right? I don't have to take any money. This would be great. We'll just rely on these. And he said, Shan, no, I don't want you relying on those. I want you relying on me. I want you to close up shop and retire. I ended up having to pay over $3,000 at the closing table to back out of that deal. I ended up paying a whole load of things, and I'll tell you that story a whole nother day. That's a whole nother story. I closed up. I ended up walking with zero. Well, no, I didn't walk with zero because some of the things I gave away, I had to pay taxes on those gifts. And we're talking to the tone. I had $180,000 of medical equipment, and I sold it for $16,000, so I had to pay taxes on the difference. Here's what's interesting. After all of that being said, moved into full-time ministry, and God revealed to me the exact vision that he gave me when I started my practice almost 20 years now. Now it's been, 24 years ago, 25 years. But when I moved into full-time ministry, he brought back, Shan, I want you to change the face of healthcare. It had nothing to do with the tangible health of an individual. It has everything to do with the spiritual health of an individual. You hear what I'm saying? God allows physical things to occur in our life, oftentimes to bring us to a place to get closer to Him. He allows things in our lives to teach others things. Can He use doctors to help people? Sure. He was using me for many years. I don't doubt that one bit. But here's what I know. I know that if we're walking in this life, in our human knowledge, Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, do not lean on your own understanding, right? Trust God with everything. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths what?
Straight.
But you have to submit to Him. You have to be committed to say yes. He says that we are put here to, and He promises a full and meaningful life. You don't have to have the background of a pastor. You don't have to have the background of a doctor. You don't have to have the background of anything substantial in this life. You just need Jesus Christ. And He promises to make your life full and meaningful, but He has one requirement, and what is that? Just one. Okay, we've already surrendered if we know Him, right? But what requirement? Okay. Following means the obedience piece. Remember, He says, I know you don't love me because you don't obey me. Obedience and love are hand in hand. That is the same. So if you remember my commitment to say yes to the Lord, there's commitments like this morning. I think this group has asked me a few times, but I think I've only been here once or twice before. But I always ask the question, Lord, is that where you're calling me that day? Because if you're not, I know you have me somewhere that day for your purpose. Remember that God has given us 24 hours a day for His purposes, not ours. Back when I had all of those things going on and it was a very busy time for me, what was going through my mind is, Lord, all I need is 36 hours because 24 is good to get this stuff done. But man, if I had 36, I'd be able to do all this other stuff. And He says, and just like you guys have all heard, he very clearly told me, and this was very true, He told me in my heart, if I gave you 36, you'd ask for 48. That's true. And so when I started learning that He's given us these days, every single day, for His purpose, I don't want to miss His purpose today. I don't want to miss the interactions. They're no longer transactions with people, right? They're no longer transactions. They're spiritual interactions. Everybody you come in contact with, I guarantee you, God wants to use you, if you're available, to speak into the heart of that person. Remember, God goes before you. And I want you to recall this. We had this last year. God showed me this last year. And I shared it with some men, and I'm going to share it with you today. It's very few people who have seen this yet, and maybe you've heard it a lot through Scripture, but I want you to do this for me. I want you to stand up. Sorry, some of you, it's creaking when you get up. I get it. Got to stretch. Some of you, if you can't see me, here. This might be a little topsy. I'll do it anyway. Okay, so this is what I want you to do. Remember that God goes before you. Do this. God goes before me. He invites me to join Him. Yes? Right? Me to join Him. When we join Him, He gets the glory, and then He changes our heart. He grows us in faith and in maturity. You ready? So He goes before me. He asks me to join Him. He gets the glory, and He changes my heart. Now, I want you to know this, because this is exactly what God does every day. He goes before you in the hearts of people. He asks you to join. He brings them to you. He asks you to join Him. When He gets the glory, that's called storing up my treasures in heaven, by the way. Because when He gets the glory, remember it's crowns of glory? He gets the glory. We get to partake in that, and He changes our life. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank You. You are absolutely amazing. You are greater than we could ever imagine, Lord. absolutely greater than we could ever imagine. Lord, your words this morning really touched my heart. I pray that it has touched the heart of every gentleman here. I pray that it will touch our heart, not just today, that these words don't just go void, that they come back to you tenfold, that we see where you're working in our lives. Give us eyes to see. You go before us and work. You said very clearly, my Father is always at his work, and I too am always working. And so therefore, you are working in our lives always. You're working in the hearts of people around us always. There's never a doubt in our mind. They may not choose you, Lord, but the results are not up to us. What's up to us is to say yes to you. So you go before us, Lord. You paint that path. You ask us to join you. Lord, we just make that commitment this morning to say yes, Lord. Give us eyes to see where you're working. Give us ears to hear from your Spirit, to give us the thoughts to think, the words to say, the things to do. Please lead, guide, and direct us so that our whole lives bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How about that, men? Get to go out and see some people today. Would you like to have any comments to Shan or questions?
I was just curious what happened to that woman that you were dating for 6 years. Is she your wife or is this a different one?
Oh, that's a good question. Short story. Okay, I'm in my old Buick. Driving back, she's actually in my Buick. I'm in the old Ryder truck. We're moving out here to Longmont. I rented a two-bedroom apartment near McIntosh Lake, right, overlook at the shores. And so we're moving over here, and God's convicting me. Now, I had shifted 180 degrees. Now, she had claimed that she had been a Christian. I didn't know this. I had no idea she was a Christian. She had claimed she was going to the big church up in Fort Collins. I forget the name of it.
It was Christian?
No. Anyway, so she's going up there, and Timberline, that's what it was. So anyway, she's going to Timberline, and I didn't know all this stuff. She starts telling me, and so I was like, this is awesome. I invited Jesus into my... Now, she never even came to my baptism. Nevertheless. Anyway, so we're talking, and I had changed. So I said, okay, we're going to be holding off on all of these things. God's showing me this and this. So we're moving up here. She's supposed to move in with me. The very next couple of days, I'm moving into this apartment. She's got an apartment up north. We're moving in together. And on the way up here, I said, you know, sweetheart, here's the deal. I really feel God's convicting us. Wait until we get married before, you know, I've got to cut off. We're no longer going to be intimate, right? So you being in the house, now I had already cut that off about 3 months earlier. And I said, you being in the house is going to be way big of a temptation. So you got to, you know, just hold off. We got enough money. You can stay in your place for another, I think we were about 6 months out from the wedding date. And I said, you know, once we get married, then we can come together. And she said, Shan, you have changed. You are not the man I met. And over a two-way radio, she broke it off with me. And when we got here, she helped me unload the Ryder truck. Took off the ring, gave back to me. I haven't seen her since.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. He cleaned house in a big way because my best friend that even went through, I had cancer when I was 9. That's a whole nother story. My best friend that I had since I was grade school growing up, he said, why aren't you going after her? I said, I have tried. I mean, I got to tell you, we had 5 hours of discussion trying to get her back when she said we were over the two-way radio. And I said, I tried when we got here, and there's nothing that I can do or say. And I lost my best friend that day. I've yet to hear from him. He persecuted me because I wouldn't go after with this woman in the way that he thought I should. Now, that's the gentleman that took me to church with his family. Now, I look back and I see all of the writing on the wall. So the short story is, I'm going to church up here in Longmont. I've got 6 months. Started my practice from scratch, knew I got 100% dedication. Some of you guys in here don't have wives and kids at home right now, so you got 100% dedication. You know what I'm talking about. So I was geared up for what God was doing, and we were starting to practice together. And then 6 months in, I met my current wife. Met her at church. She loves the Lord. I love the Lord. She had come to know Christ within a week of when I came to know Christ. We were new Christians together on this journey. And so thank you for asking about that lady, but she is no longer in my life, but I do pray for her as she comes to mind.